the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who creates us from the muddy clay of the earth. I was on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay this week, and I looked at those muddy waters, and the shoreline was just so muddy. It's humbling to think God created us from that muddy clay of the earth in the Genesis narratives. Grace to you and peace from Jesus, who bridges us from our primal separation from God because of sin. And grace to you and peace this day from the Holy Spirit, who comforts us when we are afflicted and who afflicts us when we are comfortable with texts like this. Amen. At first glance, this reading might lead us to the simple conclusion and the popular aphorism that actions speak louder than words. There are these two sons. The father asks them both to go out into the field, into the vineyard. One says he'll go and he doesn't. The other says he won't go, but he does. And Jesus makes the model out of that latter son. But after praying and studying this text, I'm not sure actions speak louder than words is really the lesson here. First of all, in my own experience, and in the experience of many that I've listened to, words sometimes, not always, but words sometimes actually speak louder than actions. You know? It's not pretty or fun to talk about, but the wounds from violent actions, physical violence and abuse even, those wounds can heal. But the wounds from violent words, emotional, spiritual, psychological abuse, I'm talking about insults that cut deep or threats that are made and never go away, even just indifference, chronic indifference to another person's presence or opinions, oh, sometimes those never heal. So not only is action speak louder than words an interpretation of this particular scripture text that I don't agree with, it's a saying that I don't think is even completely accurate. So let me share with you a concept that flows through the entire Bible and certainly through the book of Matthew. We are in the year of Matthew, and there is this concept that flows through the entire book of Matthew and therefore arches over this passage for today. The concept, the Greek word, is teleios. T-E-L-E-I-O-S would be sort of the transliteration of those letters in Greek. Teleios. And that word means mature or complete. It's commonly translated in the NRSV Bible as perfect. Like, for example, in Matthew 5, be perfect, even as God in heaven is perfect. That word is teleios. Or in Matthew 19, Jesus said, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. I think that translating teleios as perfect gets us headed down the wrong path. I'm just full of opinions today, huh? I think mature or complete is more like it, is more helpful. The best way to think about this overarching theme of teleios is to think about it in terms of fruit. A banana or a pear is teleios, not when it's completely free of blemishes, but when it's ready to eat. See the difference? When it is ripe. When it has come to fruition or come full circle, mature and complete. So read these texts for today with that in mind. Come to fruition, or these other texts, come to fruition even as your God in heaven has come to fruition. mature and complete in every way. There's more of a notion of process here. And that's very important to remember. So coming back to the two sons text for today, with this concept of teleos in mind, this idea of coming to fruition, let's look at this text again. Jesus praises the brother who says no, but acts yes, because he is engaged in the process of coming to fruition. He is ripening. He changes his mind. The other brother is not engaged in that process. The other brother has chosen to reject the opportunity to go out and to work in the vineyard. He has refused the ripening process. In other words, he has rejected the journey of transformation. Siblings in Christ, God is calling us again today to engage, or perhaps to renew our engagement. It's not like you've maybe never been engaged before, but this is our day to renew our engagement and enter again into teleos, into the process of coming to fruition as a disciple, a follower of Jesus. God is calling us into a journey of transformation. God is always calling us into a journey of transformation. Grace is empty if the process of discipleship is not evident, if there is a refusal to ripen like the one son. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called that the carcass of cheap grace. If we're not on the journey of transformation, engaged in the ripening, the coming to fruition, the maturity and completeness, the teleos, then you simply haven't experienced God's full grace. You've maybe come in contact with this cheap grace. But the church has failed you. If you've not experienced God's grace, the pastor has failed you. When God's people are saying yes, but acting no, it's like teleos has gone dormant. Our gospel today calls us into the vineyard to follow Jesus. Not just to say we believe in Jesus, but to follow Jesus. What does that look like? Our gospel text for today, it's about coming full circle. Teleos. One way to illustrate this text is by looking at worship, our worship, what we're in the midst of every Sunday morning. Our faith, which is expressed on Sunday morning, guides us into our week, bringing us to fruition, bringing us full circle. Church, worship, it's more than just a mere tradition, just something that we do, and it's more than just, you know, stuff that we say or sing on Sunday. I wonder if you've ever participated in any sort of theatrical production. Have you ever been to a dress rehearsal? Maybe as a parent, maybe in college you were in a show or something. Have you ever been to a dress rehearsal? You see, worship is a dress rehearsal for gospel living. Think about the purpose of the dress rehearsal. It solidifies what we already know, the lines. We've been working on lines for weeks and weeks. So the dress rehearsal is solidifying what we already know well. It introduces something new, that is the costumes. That's the day. That's a big day. We all have gotten these all costumes and we put them on. We do the lines. We have the costume. And it prepares us for what's ahead. That's the opening night. That's the real thing. Bringing everything full circle. You see? In our bulletin, we have these different sections of the service. And so you can see in worship too. Worship solidifies what we already know. In the gathering, we are reminded and again we receive forgiveness of sins. We already knew that. It introduces something new as together we enter into the Word of God, the second part of the service, the Word. And new light, hopefully, is shed on our understandings of the saving work of Jesus Christ. It introduces something new. And then, through bread and wine, body and blood, the waters of the baptismal font, we are prepared for what's ahead. for the real thing. We are washed and nourished with heavenly water and food for the journey of discipleship. In other words, we are engaging in the journey of transformation. We are engaging in teleos even now, even in worship. And what follows worship? The sending. I always want to remind everyone that's the longest part of the service because that's the part that goes all through the week. The sending, go in peace, remember the poor is what we'll say in this season. Or go in peace, serve the Lord. That's the sending. Because we receive the forgiveness of sin right at the beginning, flowing from the baptismal font here in worship, then we are able to forgive others out there during our week. It's a coming full circle, you see. Because there is a proclamation from this holy book about God's love and God's hope on account of Jesus Christ, about God's life, then we are enabled to speak words of love and forgiveness and hope and life out in the world in this coming week. It's a coming full circle, do you see? Because justice is alive at God's holy table, as all are welcome to the feast of God's own body, edible grace. All are splashed with the holy waters. Then we are empowered to live out that same model of justice and compassion for everyone, welcoming and feeding the friend and the stranger alike. See, it's a coming full circle because we are sent out with God's blessing at the end of our worship service. We are filled with the task of sending others, empowering others, inviting others to follow Jesus, calling others back into the love, unconditional love of God through both our words and our actions. It's coming full circle. Teleos. We are not a gathering of eagles around the carcass of cheap grace. Those searing words of Bonhoeffer. We are not a gathering of eagles around a carcass of cheap grace on Sunday mornings. Worship for us is more than just a going through the motions each week. Worship is a dress rehearsal for gospel living, a modeling of God's very will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. Here in worship, we are caught in the undertow of grace. We are swept up in the process of coming full circle, in the ripening, in the becoming to be the people that God has molded us, breathed into us, redeemed us, and filled us anew to be. I went out to some vineyards here in Northern Virginia in this last week, or actually it was 2 weeks ago. And it was so good to look out over the vineyards, enjoy a nice blend of grapes. But I was thinking about aligning even more. I mean, talk about privilege, right? How could we align even better my own words and my actions? We're coming, after all, into the stewardship season in October, the season of giving back with joyful hearts, an expression of what God has first given us. I'm pondering. I'm not done with this work right now. On one hand, I was thinking, I got to think of something for Sunday so I can roll it out and tell you what I'm going to do to line up my words, because pastors have lots of words. What am I going to do to line up with my words? What action? And I was going to roll something out. I was kind of thinking about that. Something I could give up or take on during these days. It's not just giving up and taking on. It's not just for Lent. What kinds of faith actions can we put into practice now in response to the grace that God has first given us? I want to invite you, us, to make some faith moves together. Let's do teleos action together. It might look different for each of us, what we take on or what we give up. Some might give up meat after seeing the impact that the consumption of meat has on God's planet. Others might write letters, or others might try tithing. Others might volunteer or enter into protest or make phone calls to members of this congregation. I don't know what it is for you, but all of that is actions, words lining up with actions. And I'm pondering this myself. What am I going to do? Even if I had something to share, I'm not sure I'd want to roll it out here in a sermon in some grand exposition of my faithfulness. Anyways, I just want to pray on it and invite you to pray on it. But if I'm going to speak about compassion and justice, and I should say, if we are going to speak about God's compassion and justice as Jesus following people that we are here at Bethlehem in Fairfax, I have to ask how I might start to act more in that direction. How will my actions line up even more? Friends, pay attention this week to the nudgings of the Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works, in these quiet ways, nudgings. Where is God whispering to you this week? How is that gracious and loving Holy Spirit afflicting the comfortable areas in your life? How is God inviting you to have your words and your actions come full circle? How are you becoming teleos? Because I have no doubt that God is with and working on you. As that complicated Holy Spirit continues to nudge you, at the very same time, may God's loving arms of mercy and peace wrap around you and fill you with all goodness and grace, even today, even now, and forevermore. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.